And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Bill Anderson. Kansas City Public Schools recently sold the former Westport Middle School to Kansas City Sustainable Development Partners, led by architect Bob Birkebile. Bob joins us in the studio. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Bill.
So you're the architect and principal at Kansas City's BNIM, and basically your mission is what?
Well, BNIM is about improving the entire community by design. Kansas City Sustainable Development Partners is on a related mission, which we refer to as urban acupuncture.
Yeah. Well, give us a little more detail on that.
Well, urban acupuncture, this is a working definition, we believe, is a strategic investment of leadership, design, and capital at an important place at a critical time to trigger catalytic positive change.
So tell us about the state of this specific project. You bought Westport Middle School. Was it for $9 million?
Well, first of all, we tried to buy both. Our offer was to acquire both.
Uh-huh. And both the high school and the middle school.
And the middle school.
Yeah.
And the school board at this point has agreed to give us a contract on the middle school only.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the final due diligence period with that agreement. It has to go from us to the holding company that holds all the Kansas City, Missouri schools. So they have to approve what the school board just approved. And we are now working with our financiers and our partners to finalize this agreement.
And you plan to do what with Westport Middle School? You're going to turn it ultimately into an environmentally friendly space for multiple purposes.
Right. We're referring to it as the Center for Community Vitality. And in our mind, that includes 90 residential units, but equally, or actually more importantly, the center itself includes some very important not-for-profits in our community that are organized around improving human capacity, community efficiency, and community vitality. And they include Bridging the Gap, Cultivate Kansas City, Kansas City Healthy Kids, Metropolitan Energy Center, and the Environmental Health Division of Children's Mercy. Mm-hmm. And we hope the City in Motion, a dance group that was originally scheduled to be across the street at the high school, but since that's not part of this, we're trying to integrate them somehow into the middle school.
You were quoted in the Kansas City Star as describing it as a new way of living, a new way of thinking, a new way of educating. Could you expound on that?
Well, we believe it's important to set a model for human vitality and community vitality. And we think it's time to challenge all of our old assumptions about education, for example. And these two schools hosted, the two schools across the street from other hosted approximately 3,000 students, sometimes more, sometimes less, depending on which operation you're referring to over mm-hmm. history. And today, the best high-performing schools are more in the numbers of 300, maybe 400 students. So that's the first thing. And it's putting students in, immersing them in an environment that expands their capacity.
Now, I also noted that you have plans for a rooftop garden and a sunset grill.
That's true.
A parking garage with zip car and bicycle service.
That's true.
Yeah. Will you physically be changing the facade of this building? Because,
no.
You know, when I drive by there, I'm always struck by how nice that building looks, Westport Middle School.
It's a beautiful structure.
Yeah.
And it was designed and built as a junior college.
Okay.
And so we will be restoring the historic shell of the building. But there was a new addition put in by the school district, which is a parking garage and was a library and resource center and a communication center, actually a studio. That will be converted to these all these not-for-profits that are operating the Center for Community Vitality.
Well, it seems to me that it'd be daunting to take an old school with all those classrooms, you know, office space, probably a large gymnasium, maybe a swimming pool, and convert that to usable, sustainable space.
Some of those assets are really valuable for the residents and for the people who work there in the not-for-profits, like the swimming pool.
So that's a treasure.
There are actually two gymnasiums there.
Uh-huh.
There is a large auditorium, which we intend to convert to a botanical garden as a resource for the people who live in the housing units.
Really? A botanical? How large would that be?
It would be roughly the size of the old auditorium, which which accommodated about 1,500 students. But interestingly, it was daylit from the top and both sides. And so with that daylight and without the need for a very large auditorium, we feel it would be a real asset for the residents and the employees of those companies.
That's the voice of Bob Birkebeil. He's an architect and principal partner at BNIM. He's part of Kansas City Sustainable Development Partners. They just bought Westport Middle School. The plans are to use it for multiple purposes as an environmentally friendly facility. Steve Fouch is on the phone with us, and Steve is with Fouch Brothers, a developer who also bid for the Westport Middle School. Like Bob, his firm hopes to get the old high school across the street from the middle school. And Steve, your firm puts an emphasis on the repurposing of old buildings.
Correct.
Go ahead, sir. Tell us more about your intentions.
Our intentions on the high school, since you just heard that the middle school is in progress, our intentions on the high school are very similar as well. A majority of the space will be for market-rate residential housing, but we also are now affiliated with Academy Lafayette, who wants to open and expand their school system by opening a high school in our building. And then the third component, we will have like a country club or fitness center facility with all of the athletics, the fields, and the internal basketball court spaces as well.
Now, the two of you competed for Westport Middle School. Bob, you came out on top. You guys are, I mean, there's no animosity. You guys are pretty friendly, right?
Well,
I don't have to referee here
this morning, do I? We respect Steve and his work, and he's an accomplished developer in these kinds of facilities.
So. Yeah. Steve, if you get the high school across the street, if you're successful in that, because you didn't get the middle school, will that make you go back to the drawing board, so to speak?
No, we still have the same plan, whether we get one building or both. Both buildings would give us a little more economies of scale for our construction and our operations. But by what Bob and his group are doing there, that's fine. That whole area is going to prosper. Because of either one or both of us being there and repurposing these buildings and bringing back the people and the vitality. So we do have to reprogram just a little bit, but it shouldn't impact our plan much.
Steve, could you give us some specifics of what's a part of your plan with the high school?
Well, the high school, Academy Lafayette doesn't currently have one. So in the first year, they would be adding, you know, the one class, the freshmen, as they move up. And so it's going to take 3 or 4 years for them to fill up their high school component, which would be, I think they're planning on upward of 500 students. It won't be purely in the immersion program like they have with the French immersion. It's going to be just a regular high school, but still along their same performance lines of how they run their school. They get the benefit then of using my athletic fields and my basketball courts and my cafeteria and stuff like that that I'm using for the fitness center. They'll be able to have that little synergy of not having to have their own basketball courts. They can just sort of use mine or pay to play on mine. And then in the after school hours when I have club sports and club youth and then the fitness center people, you know, we can keep the overhead items completely busy as long as possible. So that saves them money, and then that keeps me full with users from, you know, 8 a.m. till midnight.
What other operations would you hope to have in there? Are you talking about residential units and maybe some retail space? Tell us more about that.
Right. In addition to the school, we still will have upwards of 60 market-rate apartments, one- and two-bedroom style apartments. And then we also have enough space for, like, incubator office for small startup companies, more of the interior spaces of the school building that we wouldn't be using for residential. So we'll have a little mixture of some commercial office, mainly the residential, but again, this country club or the fitness center for membership type thing where you'd have the pool, fitness, the running track, a full-size soccer field, two basketball courts, so you can see basketball, volleyball. Then we also have an auditorium in there as well, just like Bob was saying. We're going to keep ours for performances, for music and live performances, and maybe even, you know, Sunday morning church services. So keeping it fully as an auditorium exactly as it looks today.
Bob, how might this compare or contrast to what you aspire to do with the Westport High School?
Well, I think the housing is similar, and frankly, our plan probably requires more adjustment than Steve's by only doing one. because we had more synergy between the two properties. So, for example, Cultivate Kansas City was growing food on our side of the street. It was being delivered to Steve's side of the street, to the commercial kitchen, to the Culinary Institute, who would prepare that food and, more importantly, teach others in the community how to prepare healthy food and teach the educators in this region about healthy lifestyles and what their options are. And so Kansas City Healthy Kids, Cultivate Kansas City, and the Culinary Institute were all a part of that system, and there are several others like that, that without that side of the equation, we have to make some adjustments, which we're currently working to do.
I have a question about the potential tenants for these buildings. What kind of commitments? Are they firm commitments, or, you know, are they just people expressing an interest in occupying space?
It's a great question. We have letters of intent from our not-for-profits. We've done programming for them. They've given us their programmatic needs, and we've given them back a report that indicates how they share that space. And now that we have the right to proceed with control of the building, we'll be entering into specific designs on what that looks like and what the relationships are.
Steve, same question.
We are negotiating the final letter of intent with the Academy Lafayette for the school. The residential portions are obviously residential. The fitness center we run ourselves. We run a number of other fitness centers and indoor soccer and fitness clinics as well, so we operate all that. And then the last would be the auditorium. Same thing. We're just like Bob said, once we have control, we can actually more ink some of the documents with some of the groups we're talking about that want to use the live performance stage.
Is this kind of repurposing and this multiple use of this kind of space, is this a trend? Do we have something similar in the Kansas City region? And, Steve, I'll ask you that question first.
We currently have the Horace Mann School over in KCK that we just opened up a week or two ago, the first market-rate residential downtown apartments that have come to KCK in I don't know how many decades. We also have indoor soccer that's right across the street in an old historic repurposed building as well. So, it's a trend, if you want to call it a trend, for the last 20 or 30 years happening in different locations around town. Our company's been working in four states doing this, a lot of schools and big industrial buildings and downtown high-rises. But you see it in downtown KC Low. KCK is just starting to get some of those going as well. So it's a trend, but it still has quite a few years left in it.
Bob, can you say local examples?
Well, sadly, it's becoming a trend because so many of our schools have no use any longer as a school. And, mm-hmm. and it's a sad note for our community because the school was often the center of community. And so as the school goes dark, it begins to become a negative force and it takes energy out of the community when that occurs. So I think it's really important to make this a trend. And that's why we think of this as urban acupuncture. The Bancroft School in the middle of the Green Impact Zone, I think, is one of the best examples in our community now of that kind of transformation.
You know, there's a mix of apartment housing in this area already. It's it's 39th and Gillum, right?
Yes.
There's the nice Gillum Park nearby. There are single-family dwellings, park space, retail. You know, east of that area, it's a little – it could use an economic boost. I think I'm being kind when I say that. What potentially can this project do for that community?
Well, I think it can do a lot for the community. For one, there are a lot of young people that would like to be living in Hyde Park, for example, that at this point can't afford the financing and the down payment to purchase those homes. And so by having quality apartments available in the area, they can start by finding themselves in an apartment. And in this case, they will have the added benefit and support and services of actually changing their lifestyles, become more efficient, more productive, and embrace a new kind of community environment.
Steve Fouch, how do you see this benefiting that immediate neighborhood?
Same as Bob, that just clearing out the two vacant buildings now and putting them back to useful life will be a big plus. There is a need for quality market-rate housing in that neighborhood. And then by the programs he's bringing in, the programs we're bringing in, you're creating a new catalyst right in that area of town which hopefully will spread in both directions. You're saying the east side needs some help as well, but this is just the gateway to moving back eastward and helping them out as well.
Yeah. Now, so, you know, what do we have any kind of a sense for how the public schools will, how soon they will respond or react to the interest in purchasing Westport High School? Steve?
I don't have a firm date. They said they do need, more of our information put together or finished up so they can go back to the board meeting, which I think is in the next Monday or two. They'd like to have the building moved by the end of the year, so there's a very quick time frame yet to come.
Bob, do you have any to add to that?
Well, I think the school district has been working hard at this, and they're getting more efficient as they go. We acquired the Swinney School west of the plaza from them in a similar kind of plan, and they're working on the west side now with Switzer. And so they have a lot underway, and I think it's starting to become an effective program.
Bob Birkebeil of Kansas City Sustainable Development Partners, thank you, sir. Steve Fouch of Fouch Brothers LLC, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You can subscribe to our podcast, hear this conversation again, or access any of our previous shows from the Central Standard page of KCUR.org. Tune in tomorrow as KC Currents discusses coming out in college. Up to Date is next with the 12 Steps of Recovery for Politicians, plus a Grand Canyon ride on the wild Colorado. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton with help from Ross Steinmetz and Sydney Llewellyn. I'm Bill Anderson. This is KCUR. We'll be right back.